this deaf group didn't have a sign for forgive or forgiveness. And now when you think about translating the Bible, that's kind of a big deal because it's kind of central to the gospel message. So if they don't have a word for forgive or forgiveness, does that mean they can't be reached? Because how can you put the gospel message when there's no word for forgiveness?
Yeah, that's a great question. And one of the things that I love is that Jesus was described as the Word. You know, we think about John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then going down to John 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, the glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And one of the things that I love, particularly about sign languages, is that the bringing of the gospel is actually, it's almost literally the Word becoming flesh. Not only is it's not just becoming sound, as it would be in the case where scripture is being shared vocally and orally, but it's actually becoming flesh. It's becoming motions on the hands. It's becoming gestures. It's becoming a part of someone as they're sharing the gospel. And so in the same way that that Word became flesh, and we humanity finally began to understand things about forgiveness and grace that were missing, in the same way, when we go through the translation process with a community, when concepts are missing or when words are missing, that's actually an opportunity to begin to fill in concepts that the community may have been missing. And I think that's one of the things about this story that really touched my heart the most. So we had people who were on ground there in South Asia, and they had deaf people brought together, and they were asking about particular signs. And the reason they were asking for these signs is they were actually trying to figure out if this community's sign for a particular concept is the same as another community's sign for a particular concept. So they're trying to figure out how much overlap is there between the various languages. If there's a lot of overlap, then maybe we only need one translation. So they weren't specifically looking for somebody's theological concepts, but they ran into this issue with this particular people group because the audience that they had brought together, and it was a fairly large audience, they were asking for a number of different signs. You might ask for love. You might ask about the concept of grace. And they got to the concept of forgive. And one of the people signed sorry. And they had already had a discussion about the concept of asking, of apologizing or saying I'm sorry, but to be forgiven, to forgive someone else. They spent about 10 minutes trying to explain this concept to the people there and saying, do you have a sign for this? And the only thing that they would get was either the sign for sorry, or they would say that sorry, we don't have a sign for that concept. And if you think about the hard part about that is that it's not just that a particular word in their vocabulary is missing. Conceptually, the idea of I am forgiven, I no longer have, when I stand before God, he doesn't see my sin anymore, but he sees me righteous, and he's fully pleased with me. That if that concept is missing, then that has incredible effect on how people live on an everyday basis. And so these words missing are many times indicative of a very deep theological concept that's missing. And it's not surprising, because the people group that we were talking to has very few, if any, believers at all. So many of them have never encountered the gospel that can liberate their souls. But it's an incredible opportunity then to begin to explain the concept of forgiveness and help the community develop a sign, we will never, when we're working with communities, we'll never come in and tell them, if they don't have a sign for something, just give them a sign for it and move on. Their language is one of the only things that belongs to that deaf community. And therefore, what we'll many times what we'll do is we'll give them explanations, we'll help them understand conceptually what's going on. And therefore, they'll begin to develop a sign for that concept. Now, you may ask, when you're actually in the translation process, how do you make some of these decisions? Because you might have a community of, say, 2 million people, and you have a translation team of 4 or 5 people. Is that translation team just making up signs and putting them in the translation and then trying to put that out into the community? What we typically do is we help the community form a committee that's made up of deaf leaders within the community. And that committee takes and wrestles with some of these concepts and actually talks with the broader community about what some of these signs should be, so that once the translation is actually produced, that sign, there's already been glimpses of that sign in the community, and the translation's much more likely to be accepted.